Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another 60 Minutes with Mocha Mop. It's Monday, y'all. Hey, good morning. Today is, what day is this? The 5th of March? Y'all, spring break is next week. Spring break is next week. Welcome to the show this morning. Guess what? Pearl and I are home alone. How about that? Home alone. No strangers in the house. My mama said don't answer the door and don't answer the phone. And if somebody call and they happen to talk to one of us, we have to say she's in the shower. So this morning we've got a great show. 60 Minutes of Mocha Mob has some unfinished business. We're going to finish up some things from last week's show. And then we're going to move into some things for this week's show, basically talking about learning styles of our children. What does that mean for us as parents? And what should we expect to see in their classroom? And then we'll kind of talk about some other things as they come up. Well, the important part is I need you to write the number down. Write the number down. Do y'all have a pen? Get your pen out. If you have a question, comment, suggestion, or you just want to buy me lunch, call me at 214-317-4855. Again, that's 214-317-4855. So let's get my standard greetings out of the way. Hey, Mama. Saying good morning to my mom. Hopefully she's listening. Y'all, she scared me yesterday. I'm going to tell y'all about that later. But yeah, she scared me. I had the, I was getting ready to call the popo looking for her because she was MIA. So we'll talk about that later. Also, want to start something new today. It's going to be called Mommy of the Week. The Mommy of the Week Award. Okay, what's that about? Well, this morning I realized that I'm certainly not a candidate for Mommy of the Week because I did something that I shouldn't have done. So it's confession time. Moms, listen up. And I need, if you have a story like this, I need you to share it with me on my Facebook page. And we're going to vote and see who gets the Mommy of the Week award. But I guess at this point, I'm Mommy of the Week all by myself. Let me tell y'all what I did. Miss Pearl, you're supposed to feed your kids before you take them to school, right? So I got up this morning, my little one, he was feeling a little warm, so I thought he had a temperature, but I couldn't find the thermometer, and as I continued to look, he didn't feel as warm as he did first. So we kind of went on, and I said, are you hungry? And he said, yeah. I said, you want a donut? He said, yeah. Y'all, see how Pearl looked at me. I know, you're not supposed to give your kids donuts. Oh, my goodness. And that's something we're going to talk about with learning styles. You know, as parents, we kind of set our kids up for a difficult day by pumping them with sugar. We give them sugar-coated Frosted Flakes and chocolate milk, and we send them out the door with a kiss. Y'all, I'm telling you, if you're going to mess up like I did a good job. So I definitely should get Mommy of the Week Award. Not only did I give him a donut, it was a donut with blue icing. And guess what I topped it off with? You're not going to believe it. Wait for it. Pineapple soda. What was I thinking? I don't call CPS, y'all. Shh, don't call CPS. What had happened was, see, here's the thing. We haven't been to the grocery store in weeks. Hello, honey. We need to go to the grocery store. We haven't been to the grocery store in weeks. We just kind of pop in and get things as we need them. But we haven't done the, okay, let's go get groceries in a couple of weeks. So this morning he says to me, the three-year-old says, we only have soda and one bottle of water in the refrigerator. And I said, okay, you can get a bottle of water. And he just kind of looked at me like that wasn't an option. So I said, okay, I'll take care of it when we get ready to leave. So as I'm rushing out the door late, as always, I say, uh-oh, we don't have any. Okay, so I grab a pineapple soda. It was really for me to get me started. But he said, what's that? So he wanted some of my pineapple soda. And I thought, well, ain't nobody looking, so I guess you could have a little bit. So I said, he said he wanted something to eat. Well, you know what? I stopped and got a box of donuts last night. And so there they were sitting on the counter calling my name. So I heated a donut and we got in the car and we were rolling. Now, this is how things work. This is exactly why I deserve what I got. Y'all, I'm driving down the freeway and he says to me, Mommy, I'm done with my donut. And I say, oh, I'm thinking that fast? So I turn behind me to get the donut. And what do I see? Blue all over his face, his neck, his chin. And I wanted to scream. But you know what? I said, that's exactly what I get. That, I deserve every bit of that. That's exactly what I get. And when I tell you, it was everywhere. I tried to take a picture, but you know, driving and pictures just don't work. So I'll post later, you guys, and see what my mess looked like this morning. So we got to the school. I jumped out the car. You're not supposed to get out of the car at the carpool line. The teacher comes and opens the door. But I'm thinking, I don't want her to see this. I don't want her to see this. And I'm trying to take this picture. She says, "Well, Aiden, what's on your face?" I said, "Well, what happened was..." So, all right, y'all. So right now, I think I'm winning the Mommy of the Week Award, Mommy of the Day Award. Post on your on my Facebook page. Do y'all know my Facebook page? Cheryl Skinner Risher, Facebook.com. Just add a comment. If you've ever decided that you, if somebody saw what you just did, that they would probably call CPS, then you need to post on the page. If you've ever thought, oh, nobody will ever know, then you need to post on my Facebook page. So how about that? All right. So don't y'all, don't judge. Don't judge. Just pray. Don't judge me. Just pray for me because I know that was wrong. And then he's going to go to school today bouncing and jumping off the wall. And I'm going to have the audacity to get mad at the teacher. Tell me, what you mean he won't sit still? Well, maybe his mommy had something to do with that. So last week we had some special guests in the studio. I had three lovely ladies talking about something that unfortunately a lot of us have to deal with, and it affects our kids. And so there were some initial or additional afterthoughts that came my way after that conversation. So I posted a question on my Facebook page. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. If you have not had a chance to read it or post or respond, then I'll give you a second to go and do that at Cheryl Skinner Risher on Facebook. Or you can just call me and we'll get your answer on the air. The number again is 214-317-4855. Again, 214-317-4855. So one of the questions that came in after our call or after our show last week was, had something to do with, it was like a revelation, I guess, one of the listeners had as she heard one of the moms say she was working part-time. She decided she had to work part-time, or she didn't work at all when she and her husband got divorced because she just kind of needed to regroup. And so I get this text message saying, hey, could it be that women working outside of the home is a contributing factor to the demise of so many marriages? And that's not something I'd given a lot of thought to, but I will say that being a full-time mom, a full-time employee, a full-time wife, a full-time daughter, a full-time sister, a full-time volunteer. You know, are y'all getting my point? That does wear on you as an individual, as a wife. And so you don't have patience, I'm sure, at the end of the day. Y'all know I'm real patient. Don't even laugh. You don't have patience at the end of the day to deal with the things that it probably takes to sustain a strong, healthy marriage. So that was a question that came up. And so I had a couple people post on Facebook with their responses. And y'all know me, right? If I figure out how to read them, I'll tell y'all what they say. Somebody read my Facebook and tell me what y'all said. I do know that there were a couple people who weren't in agreement with that statement, that I appreciate your comment, that it's not so much as you think that working outside the home is contributing to the demise of marriages, but that women who work outside the home and tend to earn more money than their husbands tend to have an attitude. And with that attitude, that certainly contributes to the breakup of a marriage. So basically, a sister out there doing her thing, making more money than her husband. We come home singing that song, "I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan. I don't even need a man." You know, those kinds of things. And so, oh, that's not the words. Oh, Pearl said that's not the words. But you know what I mean? So I think what happens is a lot of times that does come into play. And, you know, we can get kind of, haughty when it comes to earning money and tend to carry that in a negative way. So that may be a contributing factor. I will say that I was sharing a couple weeks ago with somebody that we were going to do this show last week about divorce. And she said to me, well, if you could just be sure to tell your listeners that less than 1% of marriages where the husband and wife pray together daily end up in divorce. Less than 1% of marriages. So if you get up and you pray with your husband or your wife, less than 1% of those marriages end up in divorce. How about that? I thought that was kind of interesting. So I thought I'd share that with you all as well. And so let me see some of the other comments. Again, if you want to call in, you can call in at 214-317-4855. The other thing, other reason why I really wanted to do the show last week was because, you know, being married, it's difficult to find positive role models when it comes to married life, that there are so many people that you can surround yourself with that may be struggling or having difficulty. So to find positive role models of what a happy, strong marriage looks like has been something difficult, particularly for us as African Americans. So I always say, you know, I made a comment the other day. If you're not a chicken, I mean, if you're an eagle, don't hang out with chickens. So if you don't want your marriage to be in that predicament, I guess you don't hang around people that are having those difficulties. And when you need the build up, the support system, you surround yourself with people that can help support that. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. The other thing is, one of the comments was, I don't think that it's that working outside the home is putting the marriage in jeopardy, because the institution of marriage is in jeopardy because spouses do not communicate effectively about what is best for their family. What works for one family may not work for all, but the spouses have to work to figure out the best option for them. So that's interesting. And I'm sure working outside the home does not allow a lot of time for communication. So you know what I find is that you really have to put together some things, Ms. Pearl, that help you communicate, that help that process so that you're able to communicate. I know, for example, scheduling. Everybody knows, you know, today we are an overscheduled generation. Our kids are overscheduled. We're overscheduled. But one of the things we had difficulty with was trying to figure out, you know, where we got to be, when we got to be there, who's picking up, who's dropping off. So we use, and this is just a recommendation, you guys can write this down, what we use as a family is Google Calendar. Love Google Calendar because you can layer it. What do I mean by that? I mean, I have one for my personal calendar. The husband has one for his, and then we have one for the family, and then we subscribe to the one from the school. And so they're all different colors, so they layer on top of each other. So I can see if it's a school function or if it's mine or if it's his or if it's ours. And then he can access it on his phone as well. Now, does he always access it? Probably not. And he'll say to me, what time did you say that party was? And I'll look, okay, it's on the calendar. And so, but it definitely helps as a place to help communicate some of the things that we need to communicate. And then here's the other sad thing. I realized the other day that I have the most, thought-provoking conversations with my husband via text message. Isn't that funny? Text message. Because it's 140 characters or less? Or is that Twitter? That's Twitter. Oh. Y'all know I need more than 140 characters, right? I find that that's our most thought-provoking conversations because it's quick, fast, in a hurry. You know what? Get to the point. So, anyway, that's what that's about. All right, so we had one more comment that I wanted to tell you about. I think that was it. I already shared that with you. So any other comments about marriage, divorce, any afterthoughts from last week's show, don't hesitate to call. You can call me at 214-317-4855. All right, Miss Pearl, we hanging today by ourselves. All right, y'all. So let's talk about learning styles. What is a learning style? Miss Pearl, do you prefer to hear it or see it? She's looking at me like, what? Girl, I ain't on the show. See it, hear it. Think about it. If you prefer to see it. So there's different types of learners, and you can call it whatever you want. There's so many fancy names, but basically I'll say layman's terms. If you like to see it, if you have to see it, you're a visual learner. If you have to hear it, you're an auditory learner. I actually like to do it. Uh-oh. Pearl says she actually likes to do it. So you and I are in the same place with that. If you actually have to do it, like to do it, then you are a kinesthetic or tactile learner. I have to feel it in order to for it to get in my brain. And so you could be a combination. And those are just three basic ones that you can kind of lump yourself in, auditory, visual, kinesthetic, tactile. And then there's some more sophisticated different levels of those. But you pretty much know that that's the broad category. And so you can kind of determine where you fall. Now, here's the funny thing, y'all. As a classroom teacher, I always knew what my kids were, my students were in my classroom. It was really easy for me to determine. I could look at them. I could tell you by the way they responded to certain things. I could tell you what type of learners they were. Because, for example, I'd see these little girls, and I'm sure when their mom dropped them off at school that day, their hair was perfect. I'm sure those ponytails were straight. I'm sure they had coordinating bows, not just that one that was barely hanging on at the end of the day. I'm sure their mom sent them to school with clean socks, clean pants.
You think so?
Pretty much.
You sure?
Pretty much. But by the time I saw them at the end of the day, ooh-wee. Kind of like my 7-year-old came home the other day. I could tell he had a good day. You know why? He had on a pair of jeans that had a hole at the knee. There was grass, a grass stain from his knee to the bottom of his pants, and then on his tennis shoe. I said, guess you had a good day. Oh, yeah, I had a great day, had a great day. So let me tell you about these little girls. So what happens is, if the mom sends them like that, believe it or not, I want to see my child come home like that. I want to see him come home with the hair disheveled. I want to see him come home with the stained clothes. You know why? Because then I know that they have learned with all of their being. Their whole body was engaged in the process. If my child comes home at the end of the day and they're just as starched and straight as they were when they left, then I'll have problems with that because that means they didn't really engage in the process. And I'm very much a kinesthetic learner. I leave in the morning. I look good. I got my suit on, hair fly, makeup on, jewelry on. And my husband leave at the same time. He's got his pants. I call them geranimals or geranimals. He got his elephant pants with his elephant shirt. And he got his belt. Everything matches. He's perfectly aligned. He's got a crease in his pants. He looks fabulous. We both leave. We go to work. At the end of the day, we come home. Guess what? Everything I have on has to go in the laundry bag. Everything. Because I've worked today. My jewelry is probably still somewhere on my desk at work somewhere because I've had to take it off because it bangled, bobbed, or whatever. He comes home. I'm not quite sure if he's been to work or not because his pants still have a crease in them. His shirt is all neatly pressed. I know there's some differences in, you know, men and women, but he can hang his clothes up where he'll probably wear them a couple more times before they go to the dry cleaner. So our dry cleaning bill is, mine is very, is a substantial amount more than he is. What do you think our learning styles are? If I come home at the end of the day and I'm wrinkled, hair's disheveled, you can't even tell what I look like when I left, and he comes home completely dressed as if though he's never been to work, what do you think our learning styles are?
Well, he's not learning. He's working.
Pearl said he ain't learning. He working.
He's working with his brain. You work with your whole body.
Pearl said I work with my whole body.
Work with everything you have.
From my fingertips to my toes, I work with. I mean, there are times when I go into do a workshop or a training, I want to take my shoes off. I'm really that passionate or that into what I'm talking about. I want to take my shoes off. And people, you know, I'm sure they would look at me and go, she is so country. So I don't do it, but I sure would like to. And you're absolutely right. He does work with his brain. But in order for my brain to engage, my body has to be moving. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Well, you can't even sit here and talk without the arms flailing.
Oh, my God. If y'all saw me, you would think I was trying to direct traffic. And I really have to work on that because I do move. And I find, you know what? It hurts. It pains me to sit still. Like if I go to a lecture or a workshop or something and I hear somebody talking and they're not, I can't move. It starts to hurt. I'm like, oh, I get really uncomfortable. I start feeling nauseated because I have to move. Just think about our kids. Think about our kids sitting in a classroom
full of blueberry donut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with that blue donut. Miss Pearl, you don't have to keep bringing that up. I already feel bad. I already purged. I'm going to need therapy after this. But exactly. I sent that child to school with a blue donut, y'all. And if his teacher, if he was at a school where they expected him to sit still, guess what? He would have a horrible day today.
He would have been an ISS. Pineapple soda and a blueberry donut.
Okay. Oh, I know. Goodness. It's bad. She's reminding me of how bad it was. Mm-hmm. If you're right. He would be an ISS because I have sent him off to school. Now, bless my heart. Y'all had good intentions. I really did. I wanted him to be fed. I needed him to have some nourishment. Okay, so it was the first thing I saw. And he wanted it, right? It was good to him. You say send your kids off to school with a good breakfast.
Well, you know what? off when during the commercial break, we're going to have to talk about your shopping skills, because you won't even find blue donuts and pineapple soda in most houses.
But you can find blue donuts at Krispy Kreme. No.
I'm going to need you to do better.
Okay. But you know what? So I sent him to school today with pineapple soda and blue donuts. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But thank goodness he's at a school where they engage his whole body in the learning process.
They're probably scraping that little boy off the ceiling as we speak.
Y'all hear how she's making me feel so bad. I'm sorry, baby. Mommy will come get you. But think about that. Think about if you are that type of learner. Now, here I am as an adult, and I have some, I know how to self-govern. I have some control over myself, some self-control. Think about sending a child to school who doesn't even understand the dynamics of the brain or their body or why they're fidgety or why they need to be moving. And a teacher saying to them, honey, sit still, baby. Sit still. Well.
But, you know, I think it's a new awareness about these things, because I know when my kids were your kids' age, my two boys, it was a daily ritual to get the chocolate milk and the donut holes on the way to school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And now they've taken all that trash out of the schools, because once they got there, they had their quarters ever ready to go and get some more sugar.
And they're saying now, you know, you go to schools and you look in their vending machines. You're like, what is this mess? Chex Mix and all that healthy stuff.
Carrots in a bag. What?
Carrots in a bag. Oh, you've been to my school, huh? Okay. Carrots in a bag. You know, they don't have sodas anymore. And I'm not saying that those things should be in the school. What I am saying, though, is, yes, when I have parents that call me and say, you know what, they want to diagnose my son or daughter with ADHD. And generally, obviously, it's sons. I don't get a whole lot of calls about daughters. But people will say to me, they want to diagnose my son with ADHD or ADD. And the difference is, one is attention deficit disorder and one is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yeah. Which one do I have? That's for me to know and you to find out. But when they call me and I say, well, what is the teacher saying? What's the complaint? They'll say, well, she's saying he won't sit still. And I said, well, who expects a six-year-old to sit still? Mm-hmm. But that's exactly kind of how our classrooms are designed. For our kids to sit still. And when a child is a kinesthetic, tactile learner, sitting still is one of the worst things you can have them do, i.e. myself. Make me sit still and I'm going to start to hurt.
Your brain stops working at that point.
If your body's not engaged, mm-hmm. your brain is not engaged. So right. I really think that's important. We're going to take just a second to, we don't have to pay no bills, but we're going to go ahead and take a second, a timeout. We're going to a timeout.
Yeah, you're going to
timeout. I'm going into timeout. So I'm so glad you're here. Hang with me. We'll be back in a minute.
In a mother's love, you will find everything. Everything's all right. To a mother's love, you are bound. You can rest on sacred ground. In a mother's love, you are free to dream, because she sees what you can be. In a mother's love, you see the sun. Enough for two, but you in a mother's love, you can feel when something hurts. You can heal. Yes, a mother's love is real. You grow because she knows to let you go. Mother's love, oh yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
All right, y'all, give it up for my producer, A Mother's Love. How about that? I've been in timeout the entire time we've been on break. So let me just say that. I just got out of timeout because when I tell you I got a tongue lashing, I got a tongue lashing. Rightfully so. You know what? I receive it because I'm wrong. I'm wrong. But what happened, y'all? She really got on me even about the fact of even having pineapple sodas in the house. Because I didn't have them for the kids. I had them for me. But you know what? He had this look on his face. He wanted something to drink. I was like, here you go. So, I, you know what, that says a lot because you're absolutely right. I have to be a model for my children. And so oftentimes we say, you know, I had a guest in a couple of weeks ago that said, you know, I don't want my kids to do as I do. I want them to do as I say. And that's honorable. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're doing some things that we don't mind them doing. So we're talking, oh, before I go back to that, let's talk about, oh, y'all know what time it is. It's time for Manners with Mocha Mom. I had some, oh, I sound like Tony, I sound like you, girl. We had some calls and comments last week about our 25 manners every kid should know. And so I'm going to continue that today. These are some recommendations by Dr. David Lowry, I found these at Parenting Magazine or something. I can't remember. Parenting.com. So these are I think this is a great hit list. I've read some responses to it. Like, seriously? Really? So last week, the ones that I covered for you were, and these are some things that I think they're kind of old school manners, meaning things that we were taught as kids, but as adults, we don't teach them to our kids. And so I really think some of these are just food for thought for you to consider. Yeah, you're right. That was something we had to do. So last week we did five, and they were: when asking for something, you say please. When receiving something, you say thank you. You're like, oh, common sense. Yeah. But I cannot believe how many kids I work cafeteria duty sometimes at the school, and the kids are so cute. But they don't say thank you. They don't say please. They're just kind of, you know, expecting somewhat like, you know, I deserve this. Manner number three was: do not interrupt grownups when they're speaking unless there is an emergency. This one generated a lot of conversation because so oftentimes our kids, again, they are instant. They need instant gratification. They need instant response. They need instant attention. And so teaching them to delay their conversation until they're recognized is something that's really difficult. So the fourth one was, do
If you need to get something, that wasn't the fourth one. Where's my fourth one? Y'all, what was the fourth one? Okay, so there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did I skip a list? Oh, no, here we go. If you do not need something. Oh, yeah. All right. So, ask for something. If you need something, ask permission first. Don't just grab it. That's something we really have to teach our kids. Excuse me. Now, I know one of the things that I've had to do as a mom to kind of help me, again, you know, a tip to keep me sane is there are things where my kids know they can get them without asking. So, for example, we have a snack bowl in the refrigerator that has carrots and yogurt and fruit readily available. They don't have to ask for those things. They can go in the refrigerator and get them. And we have a bin that when they pull out the bin, anything that's in that bin in the refrigerator are things that they can drink. Obviously, there was nothing in there this morning, so we had pineapple soda. But other things, I do ask that they ask permission before they get them. So I think that's something as parents we really have to work on. All right, so moving into this week's top five. The world is not interested in what you dislike. That's something we have to teach our kids. Now, what do I mean by that? Am I saying teach your kids not to have an opinion or share that opinion? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have to teach our kids to keep negative opinions to themselves in the sense that, or between friends or family and out of the earshot of adults. I was taught, and Miss Pearl, you may jump in on this one. I was taught, you know, when you go to somebody's house or somebody offers you something, you don't say, oh, I don't like that. You just didn't do that. You politely
say no, thank you.
Okay. Said no, thank you, or thank them for it. But you didn't, you know, wrinkle up your face, smack your lips and say, oh, I don't like that. Or I don't like this place. How many times have you been somewhere you heard a kid say, I don't like this place? We don't teach our kids that. And so it's okay for them not to like it, but we have to teach them not to share that in such a public way and out of the earshot of adults. Mm-hmm. The next one, do not comment on other people's physical characteristics unless, of course, it is a compliment to them. And y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. Our kids will embarrass us. I'll share this with you. I had a teacher one time. She told me, she said she was in the grocery store and she saw this lady and her daughter was in the basket. And she said, her daughter said, ooh, wait, that lady fat. And she said, shh, shh. You know, she tried to steer the basket away and say, the little girl kept looking at the lady and say, finally, the lady turned around and looked at her. And so the little girl said, bye-bye, look at you with your fat self. That's what the little girl said about the lady. And I laughed, but that's something she's probably heard an adult say to a child, exactly. Because the voice she used indicated that she'd heard somebody say that to a child. But the mother says the floor could have swallowed her up at that point. She was so embarrassed.
Because the mother knew where it came from.
She knew exactly where it came from. You're absolutely right. And so I'm just like, oh my God, the innocence of a child, the innocence of a child. There's something I read that says a 4-year-old will ask 432 questions a day. And I think I've said this. They obviously didn't survey a 3-year-old because I think they asked twice as many, as evident by what goes on in my house. So I'm always concerned that my 3-year-old will ask a question about somebody. Not necessarily he'll say something rude, but he'll say, you know, well, why do they have that crazy hat on or something like that? And probably, you know what? He probably would have heard me say that. So never mind. Moving on. Knock on closed doors. Woo, knocking on closed doors and wait to see if there's a response before entering. Our children just bust in our rooms and they just walk in places. We have to teach our kids that when you get to a closed door, it's closed for a reason. Knock. And then wait for someone to say, come in. Now, some of y'all may not have a problem with that. Maybe that's just at our house. But we really have to work on that, particularly being the mommy of boys. I have to say, look, guys, I'm in the shower. Do not come in. Knock and wait for me to tell you to come in. So we really have to teach kids to respect boundaries and explain why those boundaries are there. And then when you make a phone call, here's the next one. When you make a phone call, introduce yourself first. And then ask if you can speak with the person you're calling. And I will say this is something that my parents were very adamant about. And I learned the trick to it and then realized, oh my gosh, you get so much more when you're polite to people. So for example, if I called my parents' job and my dad's secretary answered the phone, her name was Carla. I would call and say, "Hi, Miss Carla, this is Cheryl. Is my dad available?" And she would say, "Hold on, sweetie, yeah." As opposed to, "He's with somebody right now." She would always respond in such a positive way. But that was something that my parents taught me, that when you call, you speak to the person, and then you tell them who you are, and then you ask for who you're calling for. I do know that as a mother of boys, I'm going to have girls calling my house. Let me just put that out there.
And them little heifers will be bold.
Y'all heard Miss Pearl. She said, them little heifers will be bold. I ain't putting up with it, y'all. Oof. You're going to have some manners and etiquette to speak to my boys. You're not going to be calling my husband. Is that 7-year-old at home? No, he is not. And who is this? Who is this? I had a parent one year when I was a middle school teacher. He was parenting a nephew. And the little boy was so cute. All the girls loved him, Miss Pearl. Oh, my gosh. These girls were just crazy over this little boy. But he shared with me that because the little boy had so much attention, that he basically said to him, "You tell me the one girl you like, the one girl you're interested in, the one girl you want to talk to, and that is it. You can't have Susie, Mary, Lucy, Kelly. All those girls can't be calling my house." So when the girls would call, the uncle would answer the phone and he'd say, "Who's calling, sweetie?" And she would say, "This is Betty." And he said, "Well, Betty, he's not taking calls." Because Betty wasn't the flavor of the week, obviously. So she didn't get in, you know, get through. So I really appreciated that because, you know, for a man to teach a young man that you're not just going to have all this traffic coming in. I thought that was really important. So I'm sure you guys have some opinions about that. And then the next one I'm sharing is be appreciative and say thank you for any gift you receive. Now, you would think that's just kind of common sense. Well, not really. Our kids aren't being taught that when they're given something, there's a thank you warranted as a result. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say even a written note. Now, as parents, we're really bad about that. So we have to remind our kids to do that. And if it helps to get them personalized stationery or have them make stationery to make it fun, then I encourage you to do that. Because that's something we really want our kids to do. So
you're talking to the digital generation, where this generation of kids will send a text message saying thank you.
She is absolutely right. Yeah. They will send a text saying thank you. And I'm not quite sure that's always appropriate.
That
but you know what? I want people to say, you know, that you think about. How is it you want people to describe your children? What do you want them to say about your children? I don't want, when my kids leave a place, I don't want people to say, them the baddest kids, them baby kids. I as a mother, want people to say, they are so pleasant.
And people said that about my kids, and I wondered if they were talking about the right kids, because those weren't the same kids that went home with me.
Right, and we understand that, you know, and that's the thing I tell my boys all the time. Now, y'all can act a fool at home, but don't get in public doing that. And so, you know, I think it's okay that, which tells me that you taught your kids how to act in public.
They had consequences if they didn't.
Oftentimes we don't have consequences. And you're absolutely right. Or we do that. What's that? 1, 2, 3. Ooh, y'all, if I'm in the store and I hear mom do that, guess what I do? I stop, look, and listen. Because I want to know what happens when she gets to 3.
My question was always, do I need to take you out to the car?
That's all I had to ask. Hey, do we need to go outside?
Okay, because we can take it outside now.
All that count? I don't have time for count. Pearls, we can take it outside. I used to tell them, all right, you're going to have to meet me by the flagpole. Keep it up. Keep it up. But I don't have time for all that counting, y'all, that 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't have time for that. Because I got other things I got to be doing. And so I'm not going to count 1, 2, 3, 4. But let me tell y'all something. On Friday evening, we were at the school, at the 7-year-old school, because he had some kind of Boy Scout, Cub Scout event. And we were sitting next to a family. And I have to admit, there are individuals in my house that have difficulty exerting consequences. I didn't say any names. Hey, honey. I didn't say any names. But I'm just saying, when you threaten a child to do something,
do it.
Gosh darn it. You better do it. And I'm telling y'all, I have a 3-year-old that'll look at you like, that's all you got? Bring it. That's all you. And I'm like, oh, my God. So when I say I'm going to do something, I better be able to do it. But we were sitting with this family and there was a program. And so they were going through the program. And I heard the mom say to the daughter, she said, if you don't stop you're not going to stay to see the snakes. Well, first of all, I know Miss Pearl's looking at me like snakes. That's a whole nother story, y'all. That ain't the point. The point is, when she said that, I was like, snakes? What's she? Okay, anyway. So she said, you're not going to stay to see the snakes. And so whatever it was she'd asked the little girl to stop doing, she didn't stop doing it. So guess what the mother said? She said, all right, that's it. Get your stuff. We're going home. Now, my head almost just, I mean, it got stuck because I was like, did she say they're going home? And why was I so amazed by that? I was amazed because she'd given her one warning. And she said, if you don't stop, we're going to go home. If you don't stop, you're not going to see the snakes. We're going to go home. And then the little girl did it again. And they went home. Why was I so shocked? I was shocked because as a mother, I know I give them one time, two. Okay, you know what? Okay, all right, this last time. Okay, if you do it one more time. And I just thought, wow, I was impressed that happened because I know as a mother, I do tend to give my kids more than one time, certainly not three, but I know for the most part, I hear a lot of parents that keep saying, didn't I tell you? Well, yeah, you told them. So anyway, going back to learning styles. Okay, so what is it the difference with boys and girls? Well, y'all know there's some differences. And then actually, there's actually some differences with African-American children in general. For example, African-American children learn best in cooperative groups. So what does that mean? You know, we love to talk, y'all. We love to talk. If your child is sitting in a classroom and they're in rows, be concerned. Now, if they're not always in rows, that's okay. But if you go in and their desks are completely lined up, then you should be concerned because African-American children, research shows that African-American children work best in groups. We like to talk. We like interaction. We're very family-oriented. So we're used to being in groups. So if we are putting kids in rows and not allowing them to engage with each other, there's going to be some difficulty. The learning process, the lack of the social interaction will impede the learning process. So I really think as parents, we need to kind of go in and see what the environment is that our kids are at. So our kids need to have opportunity, particularly when they're trying to process information, to work in cooperative groups. Does everybody understand that? Part of that is also the opportunity to express and talk through. Now, here's the funny thing about it. I've done quite a bit of workshops on classroom management, and I always have teachers say, but they get so loud. They get so rowdy. Okay, well, first of all, it's just our nature. Don't get mad. Don't get scared. We ain't gonna fight. We're very passionate about our points. And so y'all know we'll jump up in a minute. But all we're trying to do is make a point. And so some of our teachers find that that's concerning. They're like thinking that kids are fighting, but that's not. They are passionate. So you have to put some parameters in place. Even at home, you know, you have two kids, three kids, and you hear them talking. You know they're not fighting. They're going to work it out, but it seems to be a little louder than it should be. That's just kind of how we are. Also, we don't do well with public criticism. Our kids don't do well with public criticism. So children who are struggling in class, and if they don't get an answer right, or if they're doing something the teacher calls them out, that is going to shut them down. That's going to shut them down. So we need to be cautious that our kids know that you can't be doing anything to get you called out, because there's a action and a reaction, and it may not be a favorable. So let's talk about kids who are auditory learners. I used to love this when I was a classroom teacher. When you know better, you do better. Y'all, when I first started teaching school, I had kids, particularly boys in my class, that would beat on the table. You know, beatbox, boop, boop, on the table. Y'all like that. Okay, y'all hear me, right? And as a classroom teacher, I'd go by and say, stop that. Stop moving your hands. Not knowing that that is a way for them to engage the brain. They weren't trying to be rude. They weren't trying to be disruptive. That's how they engage the brain. So requiring that, one, they hold their hands still, and two, they stop that noise, shut down a learning modality. They are auditory learners because they hear the beat, and they've got to use their hands to engage the brain. So if you have a child that is constantly tapping, humming, you see them as hummers, singing, they always have to have noise. They're auditory learners. Visual, kids are always looking about. They're always looking about. So, like, for example, today in the studio, or every day in the studio, there's lots of things on the wall. A visual learner is going crazy. They're trying to figure out who's on that picture. Well, what is that? And so, you know what? As a classroom teacher, I love having things hanging from my ceiling. Things hanging from the ceiling. Oh, Lord, those poor kids. It's a wonder they learned anything. I didn't know, y'all. I didn't know. Did nobody tell me? But you can't. A visual learner is very distracted by distracted by things outside of what they should be concerned with. And I always call it visual noise. If there's a lot of things in your room, a lot of things around the space, then a visual learner is going to have difficulty focusing because of the visual noise. So if your child is in a classroom where the teacher has lots of stuff hanging and da da da, and she says, well, your child never pays attention. Oh, I wonder why. An auditory learner is distracted by noise outside of the room, inside of the room. A visual learner is distracted by anything they can see inside the room, outside the room. So, for example, if a teacher has her door open and kids are sitting there, anybody walking by will distract a visual learner. And you'll be like, didn't I tell you to get your head out that door? Well, you know what? A tactile kinesthetic learner, during a period of inactivity when they're bored, they will thump, they will hum, they will sing. So you as a teacher say, I want this class quiet. And you got some kid in the back going, and then you say, whoever that is, you're going to the office. But here's the sad thing. They're working. Their hand is moving. They're answering their questions or work, whatever their worksheet is. But their brain has to be engaged. And so they're humming. And so the teacher gets upset. That is an auditory learner. How does it look at for us at home? Well, let's talk about this. Church. Y'all know we go to church, right? So here's the thing. My sister is very much a visual learner. But she has some tactile kinesthetic in her as well, where she has to have the movement part of it. So if we go to church together, we can't sit on the same pew. She's a rocker, a shaker. Y'all know people at church that bounce their leg. So I'm sitting there next to her like, okay, like going up and down. Like, who is that? Stop it. Well, at the point in which you make her hold her leg still, guess what? She's no longer listening to church service. So you've got kids who can't sit still in church. It's not because they are disruptive. They can't sit. It's painful, y'all. Remember what I said? That's painful. So you have to make sure that the environment your child is in for academics is one where the child is engaged. They have opportunity to move. There are multiple ways to engage the brain based on their learning modality. You can even ask the teacher what parts of your lesson are most applicable for the visual learner. If you as a parent know that your child is an auditory or visual learner, ask the teacher to share with you activities, assignments that are appropriate for your child. So as a parent, you can make sure that your child's needs are being met in the classroom, and then you know how to help facilitate that process. So even when they come home to do their homework, if it's an auditory learner, they may need jazz music in the background, because otherwise any other sound will distract them. Like the clock is ticking right now. An auditory learner, that would drive them crazy. So you have to have some background noise. I did my master's program, and every day when I came back to my room to study, I had to have The Lion King playing. I watched The Lion King every day, y'all, of grad school. Every day, either the movie or the CD was on in the background, drowning out the noise. And so Pearl's looking at me like, why The Lion King? Well, it was my favorite movie. I had seen it so many times. I wasn't going to be interested in what they were saying. I liked the music. I liked the song. It was comforting to me. I didn't turn around and listen. I didn't look at it. But as long as I could hear in the background, I could focus. If I didn't, y'all know what I was doing? I was sitting at my desk going, who is that down the hall? Who is that? Who is that lab? And what are they talking about? So then I'd get up, go down the hall and see what was going on. It's a party. So I had to have that background noise to sound out any extra outside activities that were going on. So think about it as an adult. Think, how many of you are there? How many of you know your learning style? How many of you are not quite sure what your learning style is? I can give you a test. I can give you a test and help you out. And it's not something that's formal. It's not there's no, test. Of course, people say, well, you can take this test and find out. It's observable. It's observable. Learning styles, learning modalities are observable, because I know a visual learner doing an assignment in a hurry is out of the question. If you've got a kid who's a visual learner and you say to them, write these 10 words down, hurry up. It doesn't matter how they look. Just write them down. No. You'll see 3, 4, 5 pieces of paper balled up on the floor because they did the first word perfect. The second word they misspelled or the D was backwards. They tried to erase. Now the paper's all gray and black, got a hole in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That child's going to get increasingly frustrated and they will ball it up and throw it in the trash. And so you're like, we don't have that kind of time. It has to be perfect for a visual learner. My husband has beautiful penmanship. He writes better than I do. I'm always like, you fill it out. Because his handwriting's so much better, which coincides with his visual learner in the way he looks when he goes to work and how he comes home at the end of the day. If I write something, y'all better be ready to turn it upside. Ain't no telling what it looks like. I got curly Q's on my Y's. Sometimes my T's are cursive T's. Sometimes they're slanted T's. Because it's in the motion. It's in the activity of writing for me than how it looks. I really could care less how it looks. So as an adult, it's really important that you know what your learning style is. And even more so the one of your child. It's been a great time. We got 8 minutes left in the show, y'all. And some of y'all are being really quiet. Y'all sending me these text messages. And y'all know I can't do two things at one time. I'm ADHD. I'm all distracted. Call on the phone if you want to talk to me at 214-317-4865. A sister.
No, 4855.
Oh, see what happened. 4855, 214-317-4855. Last couple minutes of the show. Hopefully you want to ask your question or get your answer while I'm here. Don't y'all be.
Well, I have a question.
You do? It's probably the question.
This has been a very informative hour.
Okay.
How you obviously are someone who pays attention in your classroom to your students. And I think that in order to pinpoint what type of a learner a student is, you have to have an awareness of that yourself. I find a total lack of awareness and a lot of I follow the rules, I go by the book. So what chance does a student have if you have half auditory, half visual learners, but you have a teacher who goes by the book and doesn't even know that there is such a thing?
Good question, which is why I'm here, 60 minutes with Mocha Mob.
Okay.
The answer to that is why I want the parents to know. Because, you know, let's be honest, a classroom teacher in an elementary school has a minimum of 22, 24 kids, minimum. There may be 26, 27, 28. And in high school, you don't even want to know, it's probably 120 when you go through all the periods. But they have to be concerned about that 24 kids or that 120 kids. My kid in particular does not necessarily stick out in their mind. They're teaching to a broad audience. Now,
exactly.
Is it good? No, it's not really good, but I understand why they do it. So as a parent, I have to be armed with knowledge about my child. I cannot ignore the fact that I've got a child who is a kinesthetic learner. And I cannot ignore the fact that if I don't share that with a teacher who doesn't have a clue, that I'm in part responsible if my child's not successful. So what I always would ask parents is, what do you do at home? How do you help your child at home? Well, as a mother, I need to be able to answer. I do know my child's a kinesthetic learner. I have a child that's a discovery-based learner. We'll talk about that at another show. Discovery-based meaning Montessori would be a good fit for him. You could say to him, there's some bricks, a straw, a piece of cotton, and a paper towel. Make it do what it do. He'll come back and he'll have you a building with a plane flying over and some grass growing underneath. And you're like, where did that come from? And then he'll want to know, what would happen if I did this to it? He's a discovery-based learner. He's motivated internally, so you don't have to do a whole lot of go, go, go. But if he is in a class of direct instruction, which is where he was at one point, direct instruction meaning there's a teacher in front of the class, the kids are sitting butts in a chair, it's called sit and get. Sit down and get what I'm giving you. And they're spoon feeding the kids. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah. Okay, you know what I mean? When I tell you I saw he was dying academically inside.
And that is what a lot of the teachers are designed to do. They're there to kill the spirit and create robots. Mm-hmm. You obviously have nourished that creative spirit in your home. A lot of parents don't do that.
You're absolutely right, because they don't know. Parents don't know how important it is. And I guess part of the reason, maybe unfair, but yes, I'm educated and trained in a lot of this, But at the same time, I've lived it. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to be an ADHD child. Yes, y'all. If y'all hadn't figured it out, I'm ADHD. I'm non-diagnosed. No, I'm self-diagnosed, non-medicated, meaning I recognize it in myself. So when I see it in a child, I know it immediately. And you know what? There are lots of parents out there today who are ADD.
Well, my argument with that has always been, before they came up with these titles and these self-diagnoses, mm-hmm. What were they calling it then, and when did it become a problem? Did it become a problem when they wanted you to get on drugs?
It became a problem when the medical profession realized that that could be one of the biggest ways to gain money.
Hello.
Is diagnosing kids. And I'm just being real, y'all. You're right. How come nobody ever diagnosed me as ADD? I've always been this way. I've never been able to sit down and focus on one task at a time. Y'all know me. I got 50 billion things going on. But I'm successful at what I do when I do it.
Exactly. That's my point. Who's to say that your style is a bad thing? Who determines what is normal? Who says that in order to be normal, you have to be into this box? If you don't fit in this box, you're not normal and something is wrong with you. And let's just give you a title and call. I've always had a problem with that. I think that the world is made up of many different styles of people. And it's sad because children are not being taught according to the kind of learner that they are, like what you're talking about, which is why I found this so interesting this hour.
So as parents, and I appreciate this because you're actually wrapping this up for us. As parents, it is the utmost important. I mean, it is important. You can't even understand. I talked to you about my son being in a direct instruction. He was dying inside academically. I could see his academic identity being mm-hmm. destroyed.
Right.
As a mother, first of all, that you don't want to see it. And as an educator, it makes you angry. So I had to say, I got to get him out of there. And people are like, are y'all leaving? Really? Serious? I can't believe you're it wasn't for him. Yeah. Every academic environment is not appropriate for every child.
Exactly.
And as a parent, if you don't know your child's learning style and their needs, by the time you discover it, it's too late.
Then they've been branded as a troublemaker. And they're a problem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So as be mindful and know, and you have to keep, I turn over every rock, y'all. A teacher asked me one time, how much more do I have to do? When I was trying to explain to her, have you tried this? Let's work on this. She looked at me and said, how much more do I have to do? And I said to her, as much as you'd want somebody to do for yours. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. As an educator, I really want teachers to do everything they can for our kids. But as parents, we have got to do our part. We are at the end of an hour. Y'all, the time go fast. Good Lord. See, the time go fast when you're talking and having fun. But if you sit in church for an hour, I'm starting to hurt. Because, Lord, no, I can't sit still. I love my pastor now. I love him. So here is... Let's wrap up this day, y'all. Spring break. Oh, my gosh. We didn't talk about summer plans, but we got a little more time. Next week is spring break. I'm so excited. We'll be in on Monday with a great show. I'm sure there will be lots of interesting topics because I have lots of folks coming in because they're off for spring break. But at the same time, it has been a wonderful experience with you all. As always, I want you to remember, as parents, you are your child's biggest advocate. If you don't advocate for your child, no one else will, and they will fall through the cracks. I don't believe in leaving a child behind. So as Black parents, we have got to get off ours. Love to you all and all whom you love. Thanks, y'all. Yeah. Thanks for